Now, I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Robbie O'Leary, who is Principal of Sacred Heart National School in Killinarden. Welcome, Robbie.
Thank you.
Robbie, you might start off by telling us a little bit about yourself, the school where you're a principal, and a brief intro to your association with software development in schools.
Okay, I'll do my best. I've been principal for the last 6 years in Sacred Heart Senior National School in Killinarden and Tallaght, which is a Deshband 1 school. Before being appointed principal, I was the ICT coordinator in the school. And prior to that, I had been investigating and using technology with the pupils I had been teaching for many years. And I suppose it goes back to when PCs first appeared on the scene, and people wondered, did they have any usefulness in the educational context? Because prior to the advent of the PC in education, the Acorn and the Apple were to be found in you know, 90% of classrooms where people had computers at all. Mm-hmm. But I quickly realized that the PC excuse me, was going to become the mainstream computer outside of school, and it was inevitable that educational applications would follow, and they have done. And since that time, which I suppose it's about 15 or 18 years ago, the PC has become the mainstream computer used in schools. Apple and Acorn. Acorn are gone. Apple are very much niche. And PCs are used extensively in education. So I have a long history of using PCs in school.
Yes.
And since the beginning, I've had a close interest in seeing what kind of things could be done with PCs in primary schools.
And Robbie, specifically on software, you have a track record of creating your own software titles for your own students, but also for children in the primary sector.
Yeah.
Can you comment a little? Tell us a little bit about the kinds of content you have created and what inspired you or motivated you to actually create that content.
Okay, I think you know, going back again about 15 years, that the first content for primary schools I created was a series on Irish geography.
Yes.
Now, in hindsight, it's almost embarrassing how simple and basic it is. But at the time, it wasn't. And I was motivated to do that for two reasons. First of all, because nothing like that existed. And secondly, I wanted to make a point. And I wanted to make a point that this could be done by teachers. You don't have to have multi-million dollar multinational companies involved in developing software for use in primary schools. And the other point about that is that I've always known, because as well as being involved in software development and evaluation, I was involved from a very early stage in teacher training.
Yes.
And it became very clear to me from my involvement in courses, but also from dealing with teachers in my own school, that teachers were more likely to use computers in classes if they could see a direct relevance to what they were actually doing in the class.
Of course.
In other words, that it was the curriculum that was the most important thing, not the technology.
Absolutely.
And the whole question goes back, I think, to a very fundamental one. What is the technology for? Mm-hmm. Why is it there? And it has to be to help teachers teach more effectively and to help pupils learn more effectively.
Absolutely.
In other words, it's the curriculum.
Yes.
And I believe very firmly, and everything I've ever done has been on that basis, that the technology is there as a resource for the teacher and a resource for the pupil, with the curriculum at the centre. It's not a separate subject, and it never should be at primary level.
And Robbie, in your own school in Killinarden, you're quite well equipped with technology. I'm well familiar with your school. You might just say a little bit about what types of software is still used in the school today. And we might then come on to look at some of the more digital content that's available on the internet that you're also using, because in this, you know, we're looking at two areas, software and digital content.
Yeah. Well, we try to encourage teachers to use as wide a variety of software as possible. So now, because it's a Deshband One school, numeracy and literacy are of paramount importance. And therefore, the software that we use would reflect that. Yes. Now, by far and away, the most popular piece of software in use in the school is a children's word processor. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't matter particularly which one we use, but we decided on Textees. But I think it is important to say that it's a word processor for children to use. Now, the older children graduate to using Word as they get older. But in conjunction with digital cameras, that would be the most common way in which teachers and pupils use computers. Now, aside from that, we would have a large selection of drill and practice software. And that comes from three different sources. First of all, it's CDs we've bought, such as there's a very, very good maths program we use called Maths Made Easy. And that is used throughout the school from third class up to sixth class. Secondly, there's an increasing amount of very effective software or content on the internet. And thirdly, we've also made our own. We use a piece of software called Literacy Activity Builder and another piece of software from the same company called Science Activity Builder to make our own interactive exercises based on the content that we deliver in the school.
And Robbie, that software is from Sherston, is it?
No, it isn't.
No?
It's Black Cat software.
Okay, right.
And it's template-driven. It's very, very easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just talk about that for a second because I think it's extremely important.
Yeah.
We use it in three different ways. First of all, we have a whole school phonics program, which is called the PAT program. And we have developed, as a team in the school, a whole range of interactive exercises which are used both on classroom computers and interactive whiteboards based on that scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we have a whole school approach to spelling as well, and we use a particular spelling program. And we have made, a team-based approach. We have made three exercises for every unit in the spelling program.
What spelling program do you use?
It's the... what's it called? Spellbound.
Spellbound, yeah.
Now, in Spellbound, in every year there will be 30 units.
Mm-hmm.
Third class, fourth class, fifth class, sixth class. So that's a total of 120 units.
Mm-hmm.
And you multiply that by three, you get 360.
Mm-hmm.
So there are approximately 360 interactive exercises made by ourselves using Literacy Activity Builder and stored on our server.
Mm-hmm.
So that any teacher, no matter where they are in the school, whether it's the classroom, the computer room, whether they're using an interactive whiteboard, a laptop trolley, they have quick and direct access to digital content based precisely and exactly on the content that they're using. And they would be used very commonly throughout the school and in a very structured way by teachers. The third way is we have developed, again, using Literacy Activity Builder and Science Activity Builder, a series of interactive exercises on the 10 Gaeilge themes. And they're also stored on the server. So that no matter what theme a teacher is dealing with for a week, there will be a selection of five or six interactive exercises for use on the interactive whiteboard to help make that theme more interesting, more engaging, more authentic for the children.
And Robbie, in relation to the internet content, I know in the area of maths, for example, that you have also identified a range of resources on the internet for use in the classroom. You might say a bit about that also.
Okay, well, with maths, there are three programs that would be, I suppose, most popular
mm-hmm.
in terms of their use in school. First of all, as I've already alluded to, Maths Made Easy from PrimeEd. Is used throughout the school because we feel it's a very, very, very well-structured, very attractive program for children. The children like it.
Yes.
Secondly, for collaborative problem solving, math circus is used extensively throughout the school. And thirdly, we've a subscription to a program called Mathletic. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not.
No, I'm not.
But basically, it allows the children to go online and compete with children in other countries around the world in real time.
Fantastic.
Practicing their maths and their calculation skills.
Very good.
The teacher will select the current topic and the level at which he or she wants the pupils to deal with the content. They go online then, and they're racing, if you like, against other pupils in Australia and Hong Kong and the UK to see who does best at answering the questions. The kids absolutely love it and look forward to it.
Right.
And it gives them a very, very engaging and a very, very authentic context for practicing their math skills.
Sure. And Robbie, how do they fare in these in the league tables against the other participants?
Well, it varies. I mean, in the school, we would have quite a number of children whose attainment levels would be low, quite a number of children with special needs.
Yes.
But also we would have quite a number of high achievers.
Yes.
And the how they fare would be, it will be reflected.
Yes. But they're motivated by it, and it adds a
very much. Your motivation is huge.
Yeah. And I know you've got quite a number of interactive whiteboards in the school as well. Do you find the internet, certain sites on the internet, good for content? For maths?
Well, for all subjects really.
Yes.
And what we have done is we have selected the sites that we feel are most beneficial, and they're available to teachers as shortcuts.
Yes.
On the desktop. And we've gone a step further with that, is that we've selected a number of sites which we feel would be appropriate for use at home.
Right.
And again, we've categorized those and put them on our website.
Mm-hmm.
So that parents and the children at home, most of whom have access to the internet, despite the fact that the Deaf Band 1 area,
that's very interesting.
Can log on and catch up on anything they've missed, or play some of the very, very attractive games that are out there.
Sure.
Which is very, very educationally beneficial.
Sure. And tell me, you might just say a quick word on how you and or the staff select these particular web resources.
Well, basically, myself or the ICT coordinator,
mm-hmm.
or indeed the post holder with responsibility for a subject area who would be most proactive.
Right.
We would always, 9 times out of 10, we will have some time at a staff meeting devoted to ICT.
Brilliant, yes.
Where the rest of the staff can be, kept up to date and informed of any new software we have, any new websites we found,
yes.
Just so that everybody is aware of that.
Yes.
The other part of that is that the school plan for ICT needs to be constantly updated, so that, everybody is singing from the same hymn sheet, and everybody is aware of what's out there, the resources that are there.
Sure. Now, kind of up to the end of the time on this, we'll provide some of those links that you've mentioned in the course of our chat. Robbie, in the days of educational software, you were famous for publishing your top 10 software titles.
Yeah.
And I wonder, before we finish, would you be in a position to give us your top 10 either software or software and digital content picks of today?
Absolutely. The first thing I would say is it doesn't have to be a particular one, but a children's word processor and a digital camera, at least one at every grade level.
Yes.
To be used in conjunction with each other.
Yes.
Okay?
Yep.
Secondly, for project work, Encarta, children's Encarta.
Yes.
Hugely popular in our school. You don't have to have the internet to get on it. I'm conscious of the fact that many schools don't have, reliable broadband access.
Absolutely.
For project work, particularly collaborative project work, where children are working together on topics of interest to them, mm-hmm. Encarta is superb. Maths Made Easy and Maths Circus,
mm-hmm.
we have found to be particularly effective.
Yeah.
In terms of Irish geography, know your Ireland. Mm-hmm. It's miles ahead of anything else. And right. It's certainly about a million miles ahead of what I did all those years ago.
Yes, but we have to start somewhere. Yes.
Exactly. Another very popular program we use is called eGaeilge.
Right.
Developed in Ireland with input from Irish teachers. Mm-hmm. It covers the strands of the Irish curriculum and does it very, very well in a very well structured way.
Right.
I think Literacy Activity Builder is essential to have in every school because it allows teachers to customize, make their own digital content, mm-hmm. customize to the needs of their own pupils. And in fact, it's easy enough to use that the pupils themselves can use it.
Yes, that was a question I was going to ask. How easy is it to use?
It's simple to use. Right. In fact, we would often have a situation where pupils in sixth class develop little quizzes and games and exercises for children in third class
Right. Based
on a book that they've both read.
Very good.
I haven't mentioned adventure and simulation games at all.
No, yeah, far away.
And again, we would try to ensure that every child has an opportunity to go through at least one in a year. And Granny's Garden is still as good as it ever was.
Yes.
One I was involved in myself, Who Took the Book?
Yes.
I think is another one that will stand the test of time. Mm-hmm. But I would emphasize that these simulations and adventure games should be used collaboratively by children in small groups.
Yes.
As with Math Circus. We also like Badger Trails and Map Detectives from Sherston.
Yes.
Because they directly reflect curriculum objectives.
Yes.
And they also encourage children to work together and to solve problems in a collaborative way. Mm-hmm. And the last one I'll mention is Photo Story, which is a free download. Again, which is very, very easy to use. And it's a wonderful way for children and teachers to present information, text and photographs they've taken or photographs they've located on the internet. Mm-hmm. Have you been counting? Because I haven't.
I haven't, but you've quite a list there. And
I think that would cover the most important ones that I would recommend.
And what about any of the online subscriptions that the school has or would like to have that you think are worth investing in from your perspective?
Well, certainly we have found Mathletics to be extremely popular.
And how much does that cost, Robert?
Now, I can't tell you exactly because it depends on the number of pupils who are using it.
Okay.
But you can...
We'll check it out.
Probably bank on between 500 and 1,000 euro a year.
And I suppose finally, just before we wrap, where do you think the whole issue of content, whether it's either software or on the internet, is going for schools?
Well, I think the original difficulty that we had when technology first started to appear in classrooms still exists, and that is that while there is a vast amount of content and software out there to help children learn maths and science, and you know, world geography, mm-hmm. and English, we still lack indigenous software that deals with parts of the curriculum specific to Ireland.
Yes.
Now, while Irish geography has been dealt with, Irish history really hasn't. Mm-hmm. Irish music, Irish culture, and the Irish language, while there are some people have attempted to make inroads there, really they're... It has been very haphazard, very hit and mix, and there has been little or no government support. I think that's a terrible pity.
Sure.
So
So that's our challenge, really, is to...
It is, really. I mean, the minister announced lately that World Book and Britannica would be available to all schools free of charge.
Yes.
Which is great for children who can read.
Yes.
But it's not much help to a junior school.
Yes.
And it's not really going to help children learn an awful lot about the Celts. Or the Normans in Ireland, or the Vikings, or the 1916 Rising. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, I would be 100% in agreement with you on that. And I think that, you know, more and more those types of resources are actually coming under pressure from the likes of Wikipedia. And it's questionable whether we should be even buying into them or not. Other countries such as Scotland have stopped doing that. So, But listen, time has beaten us, and I'd like to thank you for your time, and we look forward to talking to you again. We particularly want to come back to you at a later stage to talk about the work you're doing with the Nintendo DS, because that's going to be a specific focus for us in the future.
No problem.
Thank you.